Matthew chapter 14. And our text for this evening is found there in verse 12. Matthew 14 and verse 12. The reference here is to the disciples of John the Baptist. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. That's our text. And went and told Jesus. Now it took a great deal of courage to go to the palace of the house of Herod and gather up the headless body of their beloved master. But the disciples of John the Baptist received the mutilated body and gave it a decent burial. But it is what they did next that we want to consider this evening. What did they do after they buried the body of John the Baptist? We're told they went and told Jesus. Yes, they went and told Jesus. They went. But where did they go from? They went and told Jesus. But where did they go from? Well, they've just taken up the body of John. They've buried it. So that tells us that they had just come from the house of mourning. Their leader had been taken from them, and they felt his loss. When he had been arrested and put in prison, they had fasted and they had prayed, looked to the Lord for John's deliverance. They had an opportunity to visit with him. They had access to John, and that would encourage them and no doubt encourage John. And they were looking for John one day to be a free man. They wanted John back with them again. But then all of a sudden, their hopes were dashed, and they received the news that their master has been murdered, decapitated. Things had not turned out as they expected. Things had not turned out as they had hoped for. Now, what were they going to do now? Well, we're told what they did. They went and told Jesus. Where have you come from this evening? What kind of a home have you left behind? Maybe there is a home of sickness. Perhaps a home of sorrow. Perhaps there are problems in your home. You're wondering how you're going to face them. And you wonder what you're going to do next. Well, here's what you can do. You can go and tell Jesus. That's what the disciples of John did. And dear Christian, whenever we suffer pain and sorrow and suffering, and we're laid aside in sickness, and we're stressed out and maybe depressed. Christians do get depressed. The Lord was depressed. When the Lord went to Gethsemane, he began to be very heavy. The words mean he began to be deeply depressed. And if it's depression or it's stress, or it's sickness or it's sorrow that we have left tonight to come to the house of God, this is what you can do. You can go and tell Jesus. You can tell Jesus all about it. Now I can see in my mind's eye those disciples of John. And they go to the place where the headless body of John lies. And I can imagine his disciples looking upon that body and wondering in themselves, why was this allowed to happen? Why was there no divine intervention? Why was John's voice silenced in such a barbaric way? He who did no miracle, but all things that he spake of Christ were true. That voice, that faithful voice, that faithful preacher had been put to death. And I have no doubt those disciples wanted to know why. It was not only the house of mourning they left, it was the house of mystery. Was it not a mystery to them why John's voice had been silenced? Why was he not allowed to go on preaching and telling the vast congregations that followed him, behold the Lamb of God? He would never do that again. The voice of John the Baptist was silenced. And here was something that they couldn't understand, why it was allowed to happen. And so what did they do? They went and told Jesus. And believer, when things happen to us, and they do, when things happen to us that we don't understand and we don't have an answer for them, and the best we can do in such circumstances is to go and tell Jesus. Did the church at Jerusalem not wonder why such a bright and shining light as Stephen was so suddenly and cruelly extinguished? For he was a bright and a shining light. Godly young man. He could have been greatly used of the Lord in that church in Jerusalem, and yet he was stoned to death. And those in that church in Jerusalem could have said, why was this allowed to happen? It was a mystery. What about that congregation in St. Peter's in Dundee in Scotland, when their beloved pastor, Robert Murray McShane, went home to be with the Lord in his 30th year. That young man who was called Holy McShane. That's how he was described. Holy McShane. And yet he was allowed to pass away. The Lord took him home. And the congregation, I have no doubt there, wondered why. And so what do we do when such unexplainable things happen to us? What do we do? What do we do when we are faced with those things that we don't have an answer for? And people come and ask us, well, why was this allowed to happen? Well, this is what we can do. We can go and tell Jesus. We can go and tell the Lord Jesus all that is upon our heart. Tell the Lord, Lord, this is something that has happened and I can't explain it. I've just come, Lord, to tell thee all about it. That's what the disciples of John did. And as they went and told Jesus, I want you to notice the reason. Yes, they went and told Jesus, but why? Why did they go and tell Jesus? Peter was there, John was there, Andrew was there, James was there, Nathaniel, but they went and told Jesus. I believe I could suggest a number of reasons why The reason why they went and told Jesus, one, because he was their fellow. Because he was one of them. And we can go and tell Jesus, when the burdens of life come upon us, we have no hesitation in going and telling him. Why? Because he's one of us. Yes, the disciples of John the Baptist knew that Christ was God, but they also knew that he was man, just like them. A body had been prepared for him. A body of skin and flesh and bones and blood. Sinless, of course. Nevertheless, it was a human body. He's the God-man. And because he was man, the disciples of John went and told Jesus, because they looked upon him as one of them, as their fellow. Paul in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 9, speaking about the Lord Jesus, quotes the words of the psalmist, Psalm 45 and verse 7, therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. So the psalmist looks upon the Lord's own people as his fellows. And if we're his fellows, then that makes him our fellow. The word fellow there means partner. He was anointed with the oil of gladness above his partners. Believer, we're partners with Christ. We're his partner. He's our partner. And would that not encourage us to go and tell Jesus, because he's one of us, because he's our fellow, because he's our partner. He's our partner in every set of circumstances that we find ourselves in as we travel through this life. He's our partner. He's our divine partner, yes, but remember, he's our human partner too. Is that not what encourage us? When trials come our way, encourage us to go and tell Jesus. Go and tell Jesus. He's not a stranger, he's our partner. And when we approach him, we find him, sin accepted of course, a being just like ourselves. His divine nature is clad in the human. His circumstances are human. His sympathy is human. His compassion is human. His smile is human. His trials, his temptations, his tears, they're all human. His sufferings, his sorrows, his disappointments. Oh yes, Jesus suffered disappointments too, just like you and me. I think of that time when many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. It was a great disappointment to Christ. And Jesus felt the disappointments of life just as we do. His discouragements, his desires, they're all human. So we can go and tell Jesus, knowing that he understands, because he has suffered those things that we suffer. Remember again the words of Paul. In Hebrews 4 and verse 15, speaking there about the high priest, Christ, our great high priest. Oh, he's not like the high priests of the Old Testament. The high priests of the Old Testament came before the Lord with the sacrifices representing the people and the children of Israel. They may have known about the infirmities and the problems of the children of Israel, but that was as far as they could go. Jesus Christ, our high priest, is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Think of that. We can confide in a friend or a relative and tell them what's on our hearts and tell them about the problems we have and the disappointments, and they can sympathize with us. They can put their arm around us and say, "Well, brother, sister, I'll be praying for you." But they don't know how we feel. But Jesus does. He's touched with the feeling. The word "touch" there means to enter into. He enters into our feelings. He does what no one else can do. He knows how we feel. You can talk to someone and tell them all about yourself and go away really discouraged, because you would say, "Well, that person, they don't know how I feel. They can say, 'Well, pull yourself together. It'll be all right. It'll be better in the morning. It'll turn out all right.'" And we go away saying, "Oh, that's all right," saying those things, but they don't know how I feel. And that's the hard part. When even our closest friends, even our spouses, don't know how we feel. But Jesus does. He's touched. He enters into the feelings of our infirmities. And what does that mean? That means then that our tears are His tears, our troubles are His troubles, and our trials are His trials. He enters into them with us. He doesn't stand aloof. He doesn't stand apart from us. No, He enters into our feelings. Praise His name. That's why we can go and tell Jesus and know that He understands. They went and told Jesus because He was their fellow. They went and told Jesus because He was their friend. These disciples looked upon Christ as a friend. They gained that friendship through the ministry of John and John's friendship with Christ. And when it comes to telling someone about our troubles, why, we will always go and tell our friend. Jesus Christ is the best friend we have. We can, with the bride, in the Song of Solomon, when after she described her beloved, and really she was describing Christ. After she had described her beloved to the daughters of Jerusalem there in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, she summed everything up by saying, "Yea, He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. My beloved is my friend." And dear Christian, tonight I can stand in this pulpit and say, "My beloved, my Jesus is my friend. And He's our best friend." That's why we go and tell Him all that is upon our heart, because He is our friend. He's a loyal friend. Jesus Christ is no fair weather friend, but one who will be with us at all seasons. In the sunshine, in the cloudy days, in the storms, in the cold nights of winter, He's with us all the way, through every season of life. Proverbs 18, verse 24, there is a friend. Praise God, there is. There is a friend. There is a friend which sticketh closer than a brother. You know who that is? That's Jesus Christ. The word sticketh there means to cleave unto. There is a friend that cleaves unto us. That's how close that friend is. He'll hold us in His arms. He'll carry us on His shoulders. He'll lead us by His hand. That's loyalty. That's true loyalty. When others leave us, Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. And I would believe, believer, that there have been those times in your life as there has been in mine when you feel as though you're the loneliest person in all the world. Because nobody understands. Nobody knows how you feel. But remember this, Jesus Christ is always there. He's the loyal friend. When things look dark and bleak, and things happen that you don't understand, just remember this, that standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in those shadows of life, you'll find Him. And you'll know Him by the nail prints in His hands. They went and told Jesus because He was their fellow, because He was their friend, because He was their loyal friend, and because He was their loving friend. Isn't that why we would go and tell Jesus? Because we know we're going to tell one who loves us. As He loved the disciples of John. Again, Proverbs 17, verse 17. A friend loveth at all times. And that friend is a brother who is born for adversity. Christ is not only a friend, He's our brother. Isn't it great to think of Christ like that? He's our Savior and He's our brother. He's our older brother. And He's a brother born for adversity. And He's the friend who loveth at all times. Even when our love for Him grows cold, He still loves us the same. You know that? Just because of our coldness of heart, we don't love the Lord the way we should or the way we used to. Doesn't mean that Christ loves us any less. Because He loves us just the same. The Lord saved me in the 5th of May, 1969, 40 years ago. Jesus loved me then. And you know something? He loves me tonight just the same. He knew me before the hells in order stood or earth received her cry. He loved me then, and He loves me just the same today. Hasn't changed. See, our love ebbs and flows. But the love of Christ, why, no change, Jehovah knows. He's the unchanging, unchangeable Christ. His attributes are the same. Jesus doesn't change, His love doesn't change. And we can go and tell Jesus because He loves us. We're not going to tell someone who's indifferent to us, who's holding something against us. We're going and telling one who loves us. What did Mary and Martha do when Lazarus fell sick? Why, they went and told Jesus. For we read there in John 11, that they went and told Jesus, saying unto Him, He whom thou lovest is sick. They knew the Lord loved Lazarus. So they went and told Jesus. And later on in the chapter, I believe it's verse 5, we read there that Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. That's why they went and told Him. Because they knew that He loved them. And when He went to the sepulchre, where Lazarus had lain for 4 days, and the Savior stood there, at Lazarus' burial place, and looked around Him and saw the Jews weeping, and saw Mary weeping, and saw what sin brought into the world. It brought death and separation and sorrow and heartache and tears. When Jesus saw all this, saw Mary and Martha weeping, those whom He loved, we read, Jesus wept. And the word there for wept, it's the word that's used to describe someone standing sobbing. Jesus simply stood there sobbing, the tears streaming down His cheeks. And when the Jews saw Him weeping, what did they say? They said, behold how He loved Him. You could say that tonight. Behold how Jesus loves us. Therefore, when the trials of life come our way, we can go and tell Jesus. Is there a heart or bound by sorrow? Is there a life weighed down by care? Come to the cross. It's burden bearing. All your anxiety, leave it there. All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat. Leave them there. Never a burden He cannot bear. Never a friend like Jesus. So you couldn't beat that. Never a friend like Jesus. That's why they went and told Him. They went and told Jesus because He was their fellow, because He was their friend, and because they were frail. because of their frailty. You see, what had they just done? They had taken up the body of John and went and buried it and went and told Jesus. They had carried that body, that literal physical burden, in their own hands. They had carried that body, that burden, to its place of burial. Now, they may have been free from the physical body of and burden of John the Baptist, but there was another burden that they couldn't relieve themselves of. The one was the burden on their hands. But what about the burden of the heart? They couldn't relieve themselves of that burden just as easily. That was a burden of the heart. That was an emotional burden. That was a spiritual burden. That was the burden of the heart. That was a mental burden. How could they relieve themselves of that burden? I'll tell you how. They went and told Jesus. That's how. And believer, when you have those burdens upon your heart, burdens that you cannot lift and cannot relieve yourself of, what do you do? There's only one answer. There's only one thing to do. There's only one person can relieve you of the burden of your heart, and that is Jesus Christ. So you go and tell Jesus. That's what you do. Go and tell Jesus. When there are problems you cannot solve, go and tell Jesus. When there are burdens you cannot carry, go and tell Jesus. When there are needs you cannot meet, you go and tell Jesus. When you have difficulties you can't get over, you go and tell Jesus. And when you have those days, and we all have them, when you have those days where you feel you're not going to be able to get through it, you simply go and tell Jesus. And He'll carry you through the day. He'll relieve your burden. Because He is mighty. We are weak, but He is mighty. And He will hold us by His powerful hand. That's the reason they went and told Jesus. Then the report, they went and told Jesus. After they had taken care of the body of John, His disciples then brought the report to the Lord Jesus. Notice their priority. They took up the body of John and they buried it and they went and told Jesus. They didn't go and tell anybody else. They went and told Jesus first. That was their priority. Sometimes we don't follow that pathway. Something comes upon us unexpectedly and some trial, you get onto the telephone. You phone around a few friends. No harm in that. No harm in asking them to pray for us. But the disciples of John went and told Jesus first. We should go and tell Jesus first. Follow the example of John's disciples. But then we ask ourselves regarding this report, what did they tell him? What kind of report did they give? We could guess at it. They no doubt unburdened their hearts. They just told the Lord all that had happened and how John was decapitated We can guess at it. But there's no record of what they said. All we read is, and his disciples came, took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. In other words, what they had to tell Jesus was between them and the Lord alone. It was private. Very personal. Maybe here tonight in this gathering, you have things in your heart that are very personal and very private. And you couldn't tell the person beside you. You couldn't unburden your heart to them. You know, sometimes when things happen, we're nearly afraid to tell anybody else because they'll just gossip and they'll spread it all around the country. We don't want that. But if we go and tell Jesus, that's as far as it'll go. And those things we can't share with others, praise God, we can share with Christ. And when we share those personal burdens, those very private matters, well, we know that's as far as it'll go. It's great, isn't it? We can tell Jesus with the confidence that that's as far as it'll go. Notice their pathway. The pathway they walked was from the place of burial to Jesus Christ. Yes, from the grave they went and told Jesus. Now, if they were able to go and tell Jesus, if they were able to go and tell the Lord Jesus all that was upon their hearts, what does that tell us? That indicates to us that the Lord Jesus was available. He was available. He wasn't away in some far distant land. He was available. They could go and find him. They knew where to find him. They could talk with him. They could tell him all that was upon their hearts. And I'll tell you something else. John, or rather the disciples of John, had spoken to the Lord Jesus before on other occasions. This wasn't the first time they had talked with the Lord. And here they are coming back again. You know what it's like? You know when someone comes to you and confides in you and tells you all that's on their heart, and you sympathize with them and you try to encourage them, maybe before the day's out, they're on the phone again telling you the same thing over. And you understand. And they contact you the next day and the next day. And you see them coming up the pathway, up to the house, and you say to yourself, oh, not again. Because you feel there's only so much sympathy that you can give. There's only so much comfort you can give. That's how it is, isn't it? We know that human pity is often worn out from overuse. Human pity often gives way just when it should stand the heaviest strain. But the Savior's pity will never give way. He'll never grow impatient. We go to the mercy seat, the Lord will never say, oh, not this child of mine again. No, he's always available. No matter how often we go to him, he's always available. And the fact that the disciples of John went and told Jesus indicates something else. It indicates he was accessible. In other words, there was a door open into his presence. Now, if you were to fly over to the U.S. and go to Washington, D.C., and drive along Pennsylvania Avenue and stop at number 1600, and see the big White House there, and go up to the gates and say to the guards, "I would like to speak with the president." I don't think you'd get too far. Or if you just went across there to London and went up to the gates of Buckingham Palace and said, "I'd like to have an audience with the Queen," you wouldn't get to see her. You wouldn't get to see her, that would be for sure. But when the disciples of John the Baptist went and told Jesus, they had an immediate audience with the King. Yea, the King of Kings. One who's greater than the Queen of England. One who's greater than the President of the United States. He's King of Kings. And he's always accessible. You'll always get an audience with him. Praise the Lord. Because he's opened up that way for us. It's called a new and living way. He's broken down the middle wall of partition. He's rent the veil. We can go right into his holy, holy presence. They went and told Jesus. Because they knew he wouldn't refuse them. They knew that he wouldn't turn them away. They knew he wouldn't bar their way into his presence wherever he was. He was available and accessible. That was their pathway and then their prayer. They went and told Jesus. They went and told Jesus. And isn't that what prayer is? You go and tell Jesus. That's what prayer is. Just telling the Lord. Sometimes maybe you come to the place of prayer, especially true of young converts. Sit in the prayer meeting and they hear a brother pray who's been saved for many years. And they think to themselves, "I could never pray like that." Well, that doesn't matter. Certainly not to the Lord. Do you know what the Lord's looking for whenever you pray? For you to tell him all that's on your heart. That's all. He's not listening for eloquent speech. He doesn't even care if your language is grammatically correct or not. All he wants you to do is tell him what's on your heart. You can do that in the simplest of terms. Because that's what the disciples of John did. Psalm 62 says, "Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him." You just pour out your heart. That's what prayer is. Don't need to try and impress anybody. Don't need to impress anybody around you. Just pour out your heart. And they're the prayers that are answered. Turn to Mark 6. We're almost through. Mark chapter 6. In Mark 6 verse 29, we have the same incident recorded by Mark. Mark chapter 6, verse 29, and when his disciples heard of it, they came, took up his corpse, and laid it in a tomb. Verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. So in verse 29, you have the disciples of John. And our text tells us in Matthew 14 that they went and told Jesus after they had buried the body of John. Now verse 30 tells us about the apostles, the Lord's disciples. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things. And that's what prayer is, believer. Telling the Lord Jesus all things. No point coming to the prayer meeting or entering your own closet and seeking the Lord about a burden that's on your heart, and then lifting that burden up again and carrying it away with you. No point going there and telling the Lord just a few things. Tell him all things. That's what he wants to hear. Like the Queen of Sheba heard of the wisdom of Solomon. She went and she communed with him of all that was in her heart. Everything. Told him everything. Just tell the Lord everything. That's what the disciples of John did. Told him everything. You go back there to Matthew 14. Matthew 14, our text is there in verse 12. They went and told Jesus. Now look at verse 13. And when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. When Jesus heard of it, they went and told Jesus, and when Jesus heard of it, you'll notice the two little words there are in italics, the two words off it. So we may read that verse 13, when Jesus heard. They went and told Jesus, and when Jesus heard. See, Jesus hears. Indeed, those words, and Jesus heard, may be rendered another way. When Jesus gave ear. When Jesus heard, yes, when Jesus gave ear. In other words, the Lord Jesus heard. You know where your child comes to you or your grandchild and you have to bow down your ear to them to hear what they have to say. You bow down your ear. That's what the Lord did to John's disciples. He bowed down his ear. He gave ear. They spoke into the ear of the Lord Jesus. That's what we do, believer, when we go and tell Jesus. Jesus will give ear. He hears your cries. No other friend so keen to help you. No other friend so quick to hear. No other place to leave your burden. No other one to hear your prayer. All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat. Leave it there. Never a burden he cannot bear. And it's true. Never a friend like Jesus. We can go and tell Jesus. And the result? What was the result of them going and telling Jesus? The very fact that they went and told Jesus they enjoyed communion with Him. And I'm sure each one of us tonight can look back on our lives when we went through those difficult times. We were forced to pray more. We were in His presence more. We talked with Him more. And maybe we could say tonight of those times that some of the sweetest times of communion and fellowship with Christ were during those times of trial. I love the writings of Dr. Andrew Bonner, dear and close friend of Robert Murray McShane. Dr. Bonner said this, "Blessed, thrice blessed sorrow that leads us to Jesus." Those words could have been said about the disciples of John the Baptist. Blessed, thrice blessed sorrows that lead us to Jesus. It's only in those times of sorrow and difficulty that we really enter into communion and fellowship with Christ. Their communion and their company. We look again at those words in Mark chapter 6. "And when His disciples heard of it, they came and took up His corpse and laid it in a tomb. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told Him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught." We've already pointed out that the one verse refers to John's disciples. The next verse refers to Christ's disciples. They all went and told Jesus. And the disciples of John the Baptist soon discovered that they weren't alone in their trials. They weren't alone in their sorrows. That others, in verse 30, had gone and told Jesus too. And dear Christian, you're not alone in your trials tonight. You're not alone in your sorrows tonight. Others have trials and sorrows too. Let us all go and tell Jesus. Amen.